And now, your local forecast.
You're tuning into The Forecast. My name is M4 Sonic, joined today by my co-host, Chief Street.
Hello, hello.
All right, what's on the agenda today?
Just a bit of catching up, I reckon, between us and keep ourselves updated on what we've been up to this week. Then I want to hear a bit about the studio update. Quite a shock when I walked in this morning. Your collab with Pixel Links and Chorus, is it, dropped last night, the night before?
Yeah.
So a recap on that. Talk a bit about the Women's World Cup. Then we got a bit of a venting session between what's happened with us and our vehicles this week. And then there's some festival news around Australia that I reckon we'll just touch on quickly and maybe have a chat about some of our experiences. But firstly, did you see the World Cup last night?
I did. Shout out to the Matildas. Aussie. That's so cool. Like, I haven't followed sport in a long time. And I think the whole nation tuned in last night.
Well, I'll tell you exactly how many people tuned in last night. 11 million.
Is that right?
Yeah. So at the peak, it was 7 million average watching.
Wow.
So that's just Channel 7 and Optus Sport. Actually, I don't think it includes Optus Sport, that 7 million number. And then, like, you got pubs, people all over at the house and that.
Absolutely. So it's 500 probably, people at one TV.
Yeah. I reckon, like, half the country would have been watching that live. It was prime time, 7:30.
I'm pumped. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I really enjoyed it. And I haven't watched the soccer. Like, I just for the longest time just haven't had time.
Mm.
And I thought it was just awesome.
Yeah,
like
man.
The energy. Like, I jumped up from the couch when we scored a goal.
Oh, dude, it was a roller coaster.
I had to try not to wake our toddler.
Yeah.
Just got a toddler to bed. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Dude, I screamed so loud. Oh, yeah. Nice. I was like off of my seat. Like, you know, sometimes with the soccer, I'll like have my eyes up for a bit and then I might look down and whatever. But I saw that play from start to finish and I was like, she wouldn't. And then just fucking cracked
How
it
good.
In.
Can I ask? So I don't know much about soccer.
Yep.
But I felt like the English team were doing some stuff to sort of slow the game down.
And
the commentator said something about a yellow card to one of the players and like, unfortunately for the Aussies, that's half an hour too late.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they were quite rough through in the game.
Yeah.
And then and
like blocking the goalkeeper when the goalkeeper went to kick it back in and stuff.
So it's all, it's common. Look, I'm not a big soccer. I'm going to try and get into it a lot more this year watching the EPL. But yeah, you can hold, obviously you try and delay the game, but the refs should be keeping track of all that lost time and then you get extra time at the end.
6 minutes extra time. That's a lot, right?
No. They've gotten up to like 10, 11 minutes now. They've been a lot more on it lately. Usually with soccer, it'd be like 4 or 5 minutes. That's it.
Wow.
But I was watching a game earlier in the World Cup and it was like 11, 9. Like they're really being a lot more attention to detail on all the little things that they're now picking up on to put that extra time on. So 6 was actually not that much because it was quite obvious with every throw in and all that, they were like milking.
Is that why the Aussie coach was yelling unbelievable from the sidelines?
Yeah, he thought there should have been more than 6 minutes.
Oh, I thought, okay, no, because I had no idea. I don't follow soccer. Ah, interesting. I thought though, the game pace and just the skill level was just so good. I was so pumped.
It was really great. You saw some cracking goals. I think England just looked better. Their offense was like much more potent. And
who
I
was
think,
in the red boots? Annihilated, whatever. Again, I don't know anything.
I think Russo had a great game for them. That's about all I know. But our defense had some lapses and I think that cost us the game in the end, really. Like there was almost all three goals were just like a little bit of a shutdown, like mentally, and then they just capitalized on it.
I'm sitting there smashing a Euros that I'd ordered from Uber Eats, just judging hard, being like, where were they? Whatever.
Backseat coaching is always very easy.
Yeah, but I want to get back into supporting a team or something because like I'm lacking a hobby.
Mm.
We've spoken about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like all I do is I'm here, which is great.
Yeah.
But I need something else to put some energy into. So.
Well, I love my sports. Basketball season's almost approaching. Jump on the wagon.
I was going to say, because you haven't had your phone yet. Chief Street has this like phone case that has a little stand. And so
one of these bad boys.
We'll be like mid-conversation and he flips out the old phone TV. And just
so what
and just and then yeah, because you go for the Lakers.
Fuck off! Sorry, excuse my language. I got to try and swear less here. I go for the Clippers, which is the hometown rivals of the Lakers.
Yeah, we're gonna get Chief Street a Lakers top signed.
I don't want it. Well, maybe if it's signed by LeBron, then yeah, I'll keep it. But other than that, I'm not really interested in the Lakers merch. Thank you.
Yep, fair.
But yeah, that kicks off in mid late October. So October 23rd or something, I think it's the first day. So,
I'll put it in my diary.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, come join. Nice.
So your reaction when you walked in today was pretty funny.
Oh, dude, that studio is just evolving. I can't wait. I think I'm gonna tease a photo on our Instagram.
Yeah, nice.
Just so our very limited followers there can get a little sneak peek.
Where can they find us for those who want to follow exclusively behind the scenes? So, oh, I was gonna do that today and I just forgot.
What?
We're gonna live stream this.
That's all right. I think we'll get there. The Forecast podcast is all our socials at the moment, which is basically just TikTok and Instagram.
That's all we need to do, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get onto the YouTube shorts as well, but that will just be through your channel anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, if you want to give us a follow on Instagram, The Forecast Podcast, it's got an underscore on it. Unfortunately, someone's got the other handle at the moment. We might approach them in the near future to claim that.
Let's get the lawyers involved. Cease and desist. Yeah.
Well, they were first, so we'll just let them have it for a little bit. But yeah, I reckon I'll tease a photo in there because it's looking more and more legit like a TV studio. I'm almost getting nervous to be in there.
And we have some exciting news following on from last week.
Oh, yeah, the catch up on the old auctions, mate.
So I put in some ridiculously low bids on some very, very good cameras. And it was me and one other person.
And how'd you go?
I lost by $20.
On one of them?
And scored on the other.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, I was so annoying. So, okay, I've never put a bid on eBay before.
I was trying to break it down for you.
I know, and
it's not easy.
Rachel was, at home and she messaged and she said, maybe I should log in on your eBay account and I'll follow one camera and you follow the other. Like everyone, like you were pumped. We had Sacred in the studio and I kept interrupting, keep you updated and what's going on. And it was just, I felt like there was a lot of energy. Also, I had a client that was wrapping up towards the end of the bidding. Mm. And I just remember like anxiety was at an all-time high. So what happened was, two cameras from the same video production company up for sale and someone else was also bidding. And I got this notification within like 3 seconds at the end. I was winning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to bid any higher. Like I'm going to believe in fate here. And I got this notification and I was trying to type in like $20 more.
Yeah.
And as I hit, guys, like you lost.
Yeah.
And you saw how I felt physically ill.
Yeah.
I was devastated because there's no point in having one. Like you need to have two.
Yeah.
And every other camera was astronomically expensive. So I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to sell this camera. Like I was, you remember you saying.
Oh, I could tell by your body language, you were pretty devastated. I was telling you, I was like, it'll be all right. Like you seem to overcome a lot of things. So I was like, look, you'll figure it out. Like the worst come to worst, you could have just sold that single camera and then start from scratch again and, like change ideas or whatever. But what happened? You figured it out.
Yeah. So the same night, a few hours later, I found another one within Australia. All the other cameras of this particular model. And I'm not going to talk about what model it is because I don't want this to become a gear tech head podcast. I just want you to see how good it's going to look in the next episode. Maybe. Basically, there was another one in the UK, one in America, and basically, asking brand new price because it was unboxed and it's just not going to happen. So I found one in Australia and I just sent an offer. It was rejected. I think you can offer 3 times.
Yep.
On eBay. Again, new news to me, I've never done. And my third offer, they accepted, which was new news to me the next morning when I woke up and I was just ecstatic. I just thought, what? So effectively what's happened is all these new hybrid cameras are coming out where they can shoot cinema quality video and take photos. These cameras are just video cameras. So a lot of people are now opting into the hybrids where I'm very happy just to get some cameras that just do cinema. But, they require cinema lenses, they're cinema grade.
Yep.
They need cinema everything. And so steep learning curve, we're going to have to figure out how to get these guys to work. But they've arrived and we had a little bit of an experiment today. And to think that we've got like Netflix approved quality is just, I'm so pumped. But with that too, the rest of the lighting rigs are on their way. We need more infrastructure in that room. We've done the sound deadening. We've got the curtains. We've got the sound panels. It's next level production.
Mm.
If I have time, I'll try and put in some sneak peek footage on the video for those that are watching so that you can see. And yeah, I guess the new iteration of my project, and I'm so pumped that I've got you with the Forecast, is that I've always been a video person. I didn't realize. I didn't realize that it was just so integral to my brand that I was always making video content. So when I do Launchpad stuff in the future, and obviously this, I guess it's like a talk show, it's a TV series now. Mm. I know it's a podcast, but it's really just a TV series. I just want to keep leveling up. I want to get some really awesome guests you know, how good would it be to have Skrillex when he's next on tour drop in and sit on the couch with us and talk cool stuff, and maybe we show him some stuff that we're doing on launch pads and whatever. Like, it'd just be so cool.
Yeah, that's the next step for us, is getting some really cool people in the business. And yeah. I think that once the new setup is live and that, it's really going to bring in a lot of characters, which is great. But so, you're pumped. I'm pumped. Yeah. I'm also scared.
Why are you scared?
I can be pretty reserved at times and stuff. And, you know, Godlands was here. He was like, you're so stoic. And I like, it's true. I went to a party on the weekend and I shook hands with the guy's dad. And he was like, you always look so serious. I'm like, fuck, man. I think as I've gotten a bit older, I have really just, I don't put on a fake face anymore, you know? And yeah. I guess I just look the bald head and stuff. I just look either not impressed or unamused. So, you know, sometimes it can be tough being around people and new people and that, but I'm also excited because it's just such a great experience to be, have the privilege of doing. So, but I'm just nervous. Like, I really want to get some reps in of making sure that we're, you know, ready to go when people come in. I think we've done a good job with the guests that we've had so far, but it hasn't been enough for me to be like, I'm ready for the next, like, EDM goat to walk in and us to just handle it. So
we'll be sweet.
It's all an experience and we're all learning as we go. Yeah. And I am excited. I'm just, it's nervousness, anxiety, but excitement.
I think that's really important because I think that means you care. I just decided that the day I'm not nervous at a show is the day that I hang up the boots and quit.
Well, I definitely get nervous. I mean, last week, you know, people wouldn't know, but we actually absolutely tanked a segment because I couldn't fucking talk. My language again. Because I couldn't talk. So I do care. That's what I mean. Like, you know, all of this is online forever and it's not like there's heaps of people watching, but you know.
You never know. They might be going through the archives a year from now.
Well, you know, I was actually going to bring it up towards the end of the episode, but I've been noticing on the YouTube, we've been getting on the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTubes. Oh, we've been getting some great comments by people who are like tuning in every. Yeah, man. I really appreciate that. Like, I was reading through like just last episode and people like, one guy was like, you know, I've been following you since 2013, I appreciate every time you upload. Yep. Always looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy to think that there's some people out there who actually like tune into us so regularly.
Absolutely.
Like and I do with other people.
We're taking note, aren't we? Because there's a few usernames and we'll shout them out eventually. But what I would like to do is I would like to send them like OGs, the ones that followed from the start with the forecast. I want to get some little merch and stuff.
Yeah, man. Shout out those people. That's awesome to know that we are, you know, connecting with a few people who look forward to like this episode going out.
It's super motivating. And I see the trajectory of this channel. I guess the podcast will sort of be like the staple. The audience will come to rely on this being frequent, which is so, so important. I think it would be great for you guys to know that each week you tune in and listen.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're thinking of doing is we were toying with the idea of maybe on TikTok, maybe on Instagram, having a live feed when we do this raw. So what you guys see hopefully isn't edited too much. Like we're really trying to just like record, get the audio, like we process it slightly, color grade the footage, chuck it all together, upload. So, but there's sometimes, we make mistakes and we cut that out. But it'd be really cool if there was like a camera or a phone off to the side where you can get to see us like fumbling around with cables, trying to get everything set up and having a debrief afterwards, like you guys see all of that. And then Luke had a really good idea that we could have like a phone, whatever. And so those that are watching live on TikTok can actually ask questions or jump in.
Yeah.
So right now someone would be like, hey, your mic's not working. Like,
I hope not.
Yeah. No, that's happened to me. I did a lot of shows in the pandemic on an app called.
Yeah, I remember you were doing the big stream stuff on some that platform.
It was called Bigo. I don't know if anybody knows of it because it's a Chinese app. But yeah, that was fun. But the first few times that I did it, I didn't realize. But this mic lead that goes into your phone out of the mixer wasn't working.
Oh, so you were just sitting there silent and everyone's watching. You're like rocking it to nothing, no audio. Yeah.
So reading the comments is important.
Yeah.
So anyway, that will be the next thing. And that's going to be so cool when we go to the next room, which you guys are going to see soon.
Oh, man. So I feel like we're teasing it every week. We're like, oh, it's so close. But like it is so, so close.
I actually agree with you though. I'm a bit nervous because we just set this room up again because we had to borrow some of the gear from this room this other room had its first proper video shoot. Wait, was that? No. Yeah. This week. God, I don't even know what day
today's
it is.
Today's Thursday.
Oh man, I'm so tired. I've got so many stories to tell.
Yeah, big night last night.
But that room was up and running, but it needed a few more lights, which are now on their way. But yeah, we just set this room up before, but we know how this room works.
Yeah.
You know, we're comfortable.
That's what I mean. I sat in your chair before and I was like, ooh, this is weird. I can't imagine being in that monster room on a big fluffy couch. I'll probably be ready to have a nap.
So I've got a story to tell. So I haven't had much sleep. My night started, I worked fairly late last night, got home, and Rach and our toddler had had a day and they were both exhausted and feeling a bit sick. So I, before the soccer game, was ordering Uber Eats because it was my turn to cook. So anytime Rach wants me to cook, I order Uber Eats. And got everyone settled, but my little one was having a hard time sleeping. So I ended up sleeping on the floor of his room with my arm, like as I'm lying on the floor, through the cot so he could hold my hand. And so like I didn't sleep. Yeah. And it got to about 2 o'clock in the morning and everyone was asleep. I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go to bed. And then it started pouring with rain. Normally, doesn't matter. Now, this building, before we did major upgrades, had issues with water leaks. And one of the drains that runs down the building, I think we've spoken about this on the podcast actually, about this sub drain. It makes a lot of noise when it rains. So we have insulated. The builders did such a beautiful job. They basically wrapped all this insulation around this downpipe that's internal and then put a wall in front of it. Can't hear anything. When we christened the film studio this week, I rocked up early to turn on the lights, get everything set up, and I could hear this dripping. So what was happening is water from the gutter, even though it's going down the drain and not making a noise, if the water just fell down the drain and hit the sump drain, then it would make a dripping sound and you could hear it.
Yeah.
I panicked. So I ripped the cover off this drain and then, you know, rolled up my shirt and stuffed sound insulation into the drain, like ramming it up there. No more noise. Fantastic. Going back to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So that was on Tuesday.
That was on Tuesday. So now it's what? Last night.
Yeah.
2 a.m. It's pouring with rain and a little light bulb went off in my head. Tick. You have blocked the drain at work. Oh no. So I.
In the new, the brand new
room. Studio with all the new gear, new couch, everything. Like, oh no. If that sump fills up, we're in for a big disaster.
And it was a big rain last night.
It was a big rain. So I tiptoed out of the house, got in the car, drove here. Fortunately, it's only 300 meters. Came in and it was fine. It's like a big sponge, just effectively. It was just passing through, but I still, whatever. But by the time I got home, I was so wired and whatever. I have not slept. So I don't know how I'm functioning today. The coffee's obviously helping.
You're doing pretty well.
But it just happens to be the sixth or seventh night consecutively that I have not had a good sleep and it throws everything out. So I think after this, I'm going to crash hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this week has been fantastic, but just team no sleep. And yeah, how's your week been?
My week's been all right. I had a bit of drama a couple of days ago in the car park.
Tell. Oh no. Well,
It's not that big a deal and we'll come to realize it's really. It's not to do with my actual car.
Okay.
And I'm going to sound dramatic here, but I just think it's a funny story. So we're just going to share it.
I'm ready.
So me and Donna work in the same building now. It's awesome. Sometimes she gets out a bit later than me because she's got a different role. She can't just pack up and leave. Depends on what she's doing. She's a team leader. She's got to stick around. She can't be like, whereas me, I'm like 4 o'clock, laptop's down, I'm out the door. You can't stop me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a bright idea. I was like, I'm going to go get the car from the car park and I'll just sit in the car and then I'll come down when she's ready and just pick her up and we'll go. Because usually, you know, I just wait outside.
How's the service?
Yeah, I know, right? And like I'm always time efficient. So I'm like, how can I save time rather than just waiting around?
Yep.
So the way you pay for the car park, because we got a staff discount, is you scan your ticket, you scan your staff park, and then you pay for the ticket downstairs and you go up, get in your car, and you go. So I did all that. And then I went and I sat in my car upstairs for 8 minutes. I came down to leave. I go to scan my ticket and they've locked me in and they want an extra $10.
After 8 minutes.
So I was like not happy about it.
I had been freaking out.
Chucked on the hazard lights.
Got people behind you?
Fine. Yep. It was like quarter past four. Like
peak time.
It's happening. Luckily there's two lanes, but still I'm a nuisance. I was like, I'm not paying $10 here. Like, I know it sounds stingy ass, but you know, just out of principle, I'm not happy about it. So I call the guy, just the worst person in the world I could ever think of. Oh. It's like he owned, like either owned the car park or he was going to get the $10 that I was about to pay.
Wow.
He wouldn't let me go. I was like, at one point I was like, oh, sorry, I think you've misunderstood. I was like, I've already paid for my car park.
Yep.
it just took me some time to come downstairs, and now I'm getting – he's like, yeah, well, you know, you got to pay for the time between you taking your phone call, because I said I was taking a phone call, not just sitting in the car, and then – and leaving the building. And I was like, I've already paid. Anyway, not happy about it. I just hung up. I had a big scream at him, hung up, paid, got my receipts, and then submitted a refund claim. Well, Donna did it because I was just fuming in the car. So I had her trying to call me going, where are you?
Yeah.
Me yelling at this guy, 14 people behind me. Like it was all just happening. Yeah. I was not having a very good time and I just wanted to get that off my chest.
I feel for you, man, because, you know, I'm high functioning anxiety.
Yeah.
I hate when I can't I'm one of those people that pays for their ticket prior to getting in the car, even though most car parks, you just pay pay pass.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So Rach's always like, don't bother, just get in the car, let's go, and then we'll get to the boom. And my pay pass is like working, or I can't find my phone or whatever. I freak out, there's a car behind me and I just panic. So yeah, no, I feel
I had that with triple, like it was just coming at me from all angles.
I'm surprised
I had a stinker of a game.
Off, mate. I'm surprised we're even recording this podcast.
No, what a whinger.
Far out.
But anyway, I heard you had some drama with your car as well. So not a good week for the vehicles.
So I actually sold my car a long time ago to put into this business and was very fortunate that I have been driving a hand-me-down, but I've decided it's unnecessary.
Well, you're so close to the studio now. It's like, you actually don't need two cars.
It's one of those things though, where this particular type of car may increase in value if we were to hold on to it.
You reckon?
Well, it's the only one of its class in its age, in its era, in its whatever, in its color, in our home state, South Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Because like looking at it, you know, it's a nice car, but I wouldn't expect it to be premium.
But there are people that
collect
these. It's an old Mercedes for anyone playing at home. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. I've done upgrades to it, which I think may have, I don't know, for the old collectors. So like I've put in a sat nav and reversing cameras and things like that. So it's not original.
Oh.
Yeah, because I figured, you know, if we're going to use it as our A to B car, I've just become accustomed to looking at a screen when I reverse. I don't look over the shoulder anymore. You know, who does that?
Yeah.
Mirrors. Anyway, yes. I have realized how annoying it is to sell cars. I remember the first time when I sold my actual car, I had a lot of time wasters.
Mm.
You know, people that just wanted to take this car for a flex. It was a sports car. So people wanted to just come and drive it for fun. And that was pain. Nobody's coming to drive this car for fun.
Yeah.
It does not go fast. But it's just little things. Like it's wanting brand new features on an old car. Like read the ad. So I'm getting messed around a bit. I'll share some more stories after I've sold the car.
Oh, look, I know how you feel, man. It's a pain selling stuff online. Except for I had the dream. Yesterday, someone came. I had this electric barbecue that mum and dad gave us that we never ended up using.
Yeah.
Just eating space in the garage. I was like, all right, we're going to get rid of this. And yeah, I just had an angel come and pick it up, pay full
Love
price,
that.
Not ask for a discount, which I probably would have given her, which always makes me think like, why don't you try and barter? It's Facebook Marketplace. Anyway, comes through, picks it up. Cash in hand, see you later. Beautiful. But I mean, 99% of the people was also like, oh, I'll give you half price.
Oh, I
and
love
then
that.
I'll like, oh, I'm on my way, or like, I'll come Monday, and then you never hear from them again. Or, hey, is this available? And you're like, yes, it is.
That's it.
No response.
Yeah. Or my cousin is in the area and they can pay cash.
That's spam.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother's going to go, he's got a ute, and can I just pay ID you? He's got no, I'm like, I've got a concept for you that I want to discuss. So something that me and my brother had thought about a long time ago, or he said the idea once in passing and then, yeah. So my brother and I, and I'm sure maybe yourself as well, are good at spotting musical talent early on in their careers. You know, you hear a track from someone, you go, they're going to be the next big thing. So a couple, for example, for two people, look, I'm not saying this is groundbreaking discoveries, but if you know ISO, EXO, or Noctu, if you don't know them, you will know them very soon. Noctu's already got a massive hit in Dash Star and it's given him a massive career. And ISO is about to have a track with Skrillex come up and release his first album. They're going to become huge. They already have taken that step from daytime festival to nighttime festival. They're doing all the big ones this summer as well. So the concept behind it was like, how cool would it be, like the stock market or whatever, you'd be able to invest in artists. So we were trying to, like, I thought like the only way it would work in my eyes is like an NFT type of thing. Like if you're a new artist, you sell access to your shows and stuff and people can buy it and it would be a very low rate because you're unknown. But then over time, that one out of five pass would actually be worth heaps. Say it was like a meet and greet for any time he was in your city.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought it's an awesome concept and I wish I could do it because I feel like I've probably hit, I would have hit three or four people and that'd be awesome.
No, I think it's a great idea. I've had a similar thought and the idea, what I called it was song share.
Okay.
So for anyone that writes music, you publish your music. Yep. Right. So this is different to putting on Spotify in terms of what you have contributed to the conversation. We talked about writers' credits. So I had this idea with my kids that I'll just put their name into the song.
Yeah.
And then, you know, APRA, which is the Australian Performing Rights Association, every time my song gets played, will divvy up the proceeds and pay out to myself and the kids, whatever the percentage. Or the same, you know, I actually had an interesting idea with Luke, who is my manager currently, that, well, why don't we just write you into the songs? So instead of having to reconcile accounts like, hey, gross figures, this is how much we've made in royalties, here's your commish. You just go, well, let's just do the ratio of percentage of whatever and write that into every song. So it's just automatically hitting your bank account. Mm. Like there are smarter ways to do stuff. For our American audience, you have LLC. In Australia, we have proprietary limited. So when we set up companies, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So I'd effectively, my idea of what, sort of running with the idea that you have would be that you set artists up as companies.
Yep.
And just like any other shareholder, you just buy in.
Yeah.
And I think that must have happened with some of these huge artists. Like surely people have had investment. Surely.
I don't know the specifics of it. I just thought it'd be a great concept as just like this guy who scouts music.
It'd and then so buys awesome. Into talent.
Yeah. Because
I think that is a thing. I think it's called Scooter Braun.
So, yeah, exactly. So there was another rapper I became a fan of. There's a YouTube series with a producer called Kenny Beats called The Cave.
Right.
And it's like basically it would be a dream series for us where you get feature artists come in, you have an hour and a half in the studio, you make something in that hour and a half, it's all filmed. They go in the booth, record their vocal. You don't release the song or anything, but it's like here's what we made in an hour and a half. And anyway, he had this guy come in called Tizo Touchdown. You can go watch it if you like because it is such an abstract creation process, creative process. Mm. But the end result, I it made no sense. And then he sung over the top and I was just like, damn, whatever's going on in that guy's head, like is special. That has real musical talent in there. And so I would have seen that. I started following him and getting onto him and I would have invested at that point. Could it have been a big, like, I'm not saying I have $50,000 to invest, but you know, I would show interest in that. And then he's got his first album coming out.
Yeah.
And two nights ago, Drake dedicated a whole Instagram post saying, this is some of the best music I've ever heard. Photos of Tizo at Tizo. I would have hit the jackpot. You're getting Drake's like audience getting a whole Instagram post, slide of like, things crediting this guy's new first album. Like, I feel like I would have hit the jackpot.
Well, maybe Drake has.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he signed on there. But the it's almost funny because the first two teasers of his album sound very average. And I'm like, yeah, really weird, like almost garage bandy kind of backtracks. It's interesting. But the guy's got a great musical talent and like he did a feature song on one of Travis Scott's latest album.
Okay.
And I think it's regarded as one of the better features on the album. So, yeah, he's got a lot of potential.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's start this little investment company. If anybody wants 30 cents of investment and you're about to explode, hit us up.
Yeah, or you can invest in us, PayPal at.
So, okay, very quickly, side tangent. I met Jack Conti. Do you know that name?
No. Nah.
Started Patreon.
Ooh. Nice.
I met Jack Conti back in 2013. He reached out to me. He was one of the very first few people to reach out when I created Weapon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, at the time that I released that video and was doing really well, a few people of, you know, large audiences reached out. He was one of the first and he's such a lovely person. He said, you know, love what you're doing. I also use Launchpad. Here's one of my videos, blah, 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 blah. He was doing some epic stuff with Launchpad. And yeah, he was already successful in his own right as a musician and then he went on to start Patreon. He invited me to join the platform. And for those that don't know how Patreon works, it's basically like a paywall for people that really support you and want to nurture your career. And they have exclusive access to whatever you want to provide for that payment. So great concept, but I was at the time in negotiations with a record label and a publisher, and it didn't seem like the team that I was with at the time, it didn't seem fitting to ask for a paywalled service whilst signing deals. Yeah. And so it didn't make sense. But looking back, would have been probably just as awesome, you know, or if not better long term. Yeah,
you would have been able to really reach those super fans.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah. What I'm learning, and it took too long to figure this out, and maybe seemingly obvious to a lot of other people, is that it's reciprocal. The amount of effort you put into your career and how much that benefits other people is then why you are a success. Like it's, no, I mean, that's probably really obvious, but for the longest time, I think we're very self-driven in what we want to accomplish, and that's not ultimately going to result in being a huge success. So with platforms like Patreon, I feel like you're giving more than you're getting.
Yeah.
In some respects. But at scale, then once you've, you know, reached the masses and the mass audience is subscribing to you, you can do very well. Like models found on OnlyFans during the pandemic. They're doing very well.
Cleaning up. Yeah, I know just to speak to one, Virtual Riot has a great Patreon mm-hmm. where you get, he has a series on YouTube where he does like, I don't know if he makes the tracks for the series and then gives away the presets or if they're for songs he's released or whatever. But he's already a very generous person in all this sample packs. Yeah, and he doesn't really gatekeep a lot of information. He's just insanely talented.
Touch
his
makes
quality.
Makes me feel inferior.
Oh, yeah. He makes 99.9% of producers feel that way. There's like that handful of guys that are just like untouchable and he's basically one of them.
Incredible.
But yeah, he gives away all this free, not free stuff, but it's like a very small Patreon. And I reckon you could just sign up for 1 month, download it all, cancel it. Sometimes I'm that dude, not to Patreons and stuff, but like
I sign up to newsletters so I can download the free PDF and then I subscribe straight away.
You know what I saw the other day come out, which I thought was awesome and something that we should try and manifest between us? Beyond the Valley, which is a festival. Oh, I can't remember. Is it in Melbourne? Don't know.
This is just an Aussie festival.
An Aussie festival. I wish I knew the location. I should.
It's in a valley somewhere.
Beyond it. They've got a podcast stage for the second year in a row.
Oh, man, come on. We should be the podcasters.
I reckon we can make it next year.
Do we send them a podcast link and just be like, yo.
Next year.
Can talk.
2020. We can fill up an hour for sure.
Is it branded just like Beyond the Valley podcast or could it be like the Forecast Presents?
No, it's Beyond the Valley podcast stage hosted by two people and then it has everyone's shows on it and you just do it to a live audience.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be perfect for us. Like we could totally do that. You could ideally have the artists that are playing, whoever's not playing at that time, come and sit in and you can have one episode with a guest or whatever and it can be live and interactive and that.
That'd be so cool.
I just thought it's cool and it's like a real, like I've been telling you this whole time how podcasting is just booming at the moment.
It's absolutely
like
exploding, yeah.
Crazy how popular it's all getting. And I think something like that really goes to show like at a festival, they're having stages where people can go, you know what, I'm going to go chill out for a while and rather than just sit on the bench and eat chips, you can go watch people talk as well.
Or if you want to eat chippies while on a podcast, you're welcome to as well.
Exactly. But I just think it's cool, man.
I love the idea. I think that's great. I actually want to take this on the road at some point.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. a dream for us. Well, for me anyway, I don't know where my artist career is going. So if we can just ride this into the sunset,
that'd be great. We've spoken about touring together, right? How cool would it be that, okay, so we announce all these tour dates in the US, but you get to tune into the Forecast and we talk about, yeah, how was last night's show? Dude, it was amazing until such and such blew up. You know, like how good?
Yeah, I mean, I hope we just get to manifest it all. And I do think that once this continues to grow momentum, we should have some cool opportunities. So we just got to stick with it.
Yeah. If you tuned in last week, I went on a bit of a rant and I've sort of been thinking about it. And I hope I didn't sound too negative. I was just sort of observant and expressing my frustration at how the world works. It's not like a quality thing anymore for the metrics. It's sort of just consistency and knowing your audience and knowing how to play the game, which I currently do not.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Talking of festivals, I figure why don't we just round this episode off with some chit-chat.
Let's go.
I want you to tell me some stories. So I know you've played a bunch of festivals, but have you attended festivals?
Yeah, I have. I don't, it's definitely, I've played more than I've attended.
Okay.
Because I'm now one of those people that just, it gripes me to go to a nightclub or to go to a music festival and not be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough.
Just so my damn ego.
What was the first festival you went to?
Oh.
Ever.
Oh, okay. So I think it would have been one that I was working at. So I used to work for alcohol companies, either as a barman or giving out free samples, whatever. And they would always have like a setup at festivals. So
for some reason, it doesn't surprise me. I do imagine you on the bar being like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh man, I had a healthy ego. Yeah, I'm a very different dude.
Yeah.
But back in the day, yeah, I was studying at uni and needed just easy work and, yeah, and so we'd set up these installations, like, for example, we're not sponsored by Smirnoff, but here's a free shout out. They would have like a tent or something at like a Stereosonic or a Future Music Fest or whatever, and I'd be working in that tent. So when the patrons weren't on the massive stage dance floors or whatever and they came in because it was so hot. You remember?
Yeah, summer festivals.
Summer festivals were epic, but people were always passing out so hot. Yeah. So they'd come into these like super chilled mist tents, which would all have their own DJs and ice bars and all sorts of cool stuff. So what would happen is on my breaks, I would go out and watch. And I just remember like seeing a Tiesto set or something here in Adelaide and just being like, oh my God, I want to be that person up there, not up the back.
Yeah.
Getting out drinks. And then later, yeah, I think my most memorable story, and I won't go into too much detail because it involves a lot of vomit.
It's when you know it's a good one.
I went and saw Deadmau5 and Skrillex at Planet Cream.
Yeah, yeah. We touched on a early episodes. Don't worry, I was there too as a young'un, underage.
Now, because I worked for these alcohol brands, any leftover bottles we couldn't sell or bin or whatever. Well, we could bin them, but I was like, you know what? Half a bottle of Smirnoff, I'll just take that.
Yeah, home. You're young.
So I had crates of this stuff.
Wow.
Like just so much grog. So every time we went to pre-drinks, I'd be the guy that supplied the drinks. So I was taking all these like spirits to these pre-drinks in this particular party before Planet Cream. And I don't know, just a bunch of idiots. We were just doing sculling contests and just downing spirits, no mixes, whatever. And I was feeling great. We get in the cab and we're on our way to the festival. And then I woke up in a car park. Covered.
Oh, no.
The very unhappy taxi driver and my mate giving him a $50 note, being like, so sorry. I'd had my head out the window of that cab the entire trip.
So was that on the way to the festival?
Yep.
And how'd you go after?
I didn't make it in originally.
Yeah.
We went early.
Yeah.
Because we were so keen. Like we wanted to see the whole thing. Yep. And long story short, I had drunk too much and was very dehydrated and needed to go home, rest, have a few hydrolytes, had a little nap and was fine. Went back.
The return.
Returned.
The revival.
My mates were like, you're back. I'm like, I'm ready.
That's the best, man. Used to do that all the time going out and stuff. It's like you'd be like, I need some time. And you'd just pray that he'd come back. And if he came back, you were a fucking hero.
I was a hero,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude. Everyone.
And yeah, I got in and I didn't care about anyone else playing. I just wanted to wait. And then Skrillex came out.
Oh, best.
And I just lost my mind. Yeah, I just thought it was the best ever. And at this point, I must have been sober, but I still felt like party, whatever. And then Deadmau5 played. It was an hour and a half set. And he had the cube. Yeah. And I don't think I moved. I think I just stood there mesmerized.
In awe.
Yeah. And again, probably really dope. I was smashing waters. I was so thirsty. But yeah, that was a memorable experience. But we did touch on it in an earlier episode because this hot bird came up to me. And she's like, when's Deadmau5 playing? Yeah. I'm like, yep, up, up, up. It's Deadmau5. She's like, so what? I'm like, oh, just, yep.
Goodbye.
Yeah, she turned and walked off.
That's
like,
the ick.
Yeah.
Deadmau5. I mean, that was a thing for that time anyway. No one knew how to say it. So I give her a bit of a pass, but I can tell, I would be a bit.
People still call me Masonic.
Yeah.
What's your first festival memory? Because that was mine.
Yeah. My first festival was a big day out.
Oh,
And the highlight or the low light of it, which turned out to be good in the end, because I'll tell you the story as it finishes. Went to go see one of my favorite bands at the time, Rise Against. So I was definitely more of a metalhead band person before I even sniffed into electronic music. So we went
sniffed into electronic music.
Before I dabbled in electronic. So I went and saw Rise Against, and I was with a couple mates. and it was just that they started and then Stampede. Just that big push. And I was 16, 17, very young, very small and naive and not really knowing what I was getting into. I had been at shows before, but festivals, different beast, especially that time in Australia, people would get pretty rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still do, but almost violent and physical more so back then a bit, I think. So anyway, they start and just a stampede and we just get pushed basically to the floor. I lost my shoes, which sucked.
Yeah,
because what do you do at a festival when you lost? So I found one and the other one just gone. So 17, 16-year-old me at Big Day Out just bummed, man.
Yeah, like I can see your face right now.
I'm not enjoying the show.
Yep.
I've just lost my shoe. What am I going to do for the rest of the day? And then so I ended up bumping into Cam. Like he was a part of the group that we went to. Cam's one of my best mates. But at that time, we weren't that close. Anyway, we went on a journey together through the festival and along the way, I guess we became best friends and we also found some lady selling shoes.
No way.
Dude, she had this full like just a random shop full of stuff and she had Dunlop Volleys that were white with the Australian flag printed all over them and they were like in my size and it was just beautiful.
Do you still have them to this day?
No, I don't. They got put in the bin because they probably got wrecked that day, like white volleys at a festival. See you later. But yeah, that was both really terrible, but also looking back on it now, pretty funny.
Still seems cleaner than my experience.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. There's been many a vomit story, but we won't go into those.
Nah, no.
Because,
yeah, I don't drink when I play, hey.
Oh, no, I don't drink much anymore either.
I tried. When I first started, I tried drinking to settle the nerves. The only problem was that I was having Red Bull, say energy drink, with some sort of spirit. And nah. Not good for anxious people.
Nah, the heart's just ticking away.
Yeah, you're like, am I excited, am I anxious, or am I having a heart attack? So
as a punter, are there any experiences or times at a festival that stand out to you? It's like, you know, the best, good times at a festival.
Okay, yeah, there's been a few moments. So I've been very fortunate to be invited to festivals, not ones that I've played to, but I've been traveling overseas. So I saw Hardwell close Ultra Miami. That was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And we sat with the front of house crew who were doing all the lights and stuff.
Oh, so, awesome.
You know, best seat in the house. Then, yeah, Martin Garrix closing Tomorrowland, which I did play at on the main stage. So Tomorrow World, the American version. So they take the set apart from Tomorrowland and they took it to America. They don't do it anymore. And that was just exceptional. These are just incredible productions, just like mind-blowing. I think Skrillex is still one of the best live performers in the world for his energy and just the way that he performs the show. Unreal. Deadmau5 still a standout. The visuals and obviously all the music is just first class. The only other time that I was a real punter was when on Warped Tour, if I had played a show and I had heaps of time to kill, I would just go and watch all the other acts. Yeah. And that's when I really fell in love with bands.
Mm.
And wow, Black Veil Brides. I had no idea who they were, but they were like the biggest name on the festival lineup for Warped Tour. And I went and watched all their shows. The way they demanded like the attention of the crowd and controlled the crowd, lead singer would just put his fist up and then the sea of 40,000 people would just go, oof. Oh man, gives me shivers to this day. Yeah. It was just so cool.
Like the leader of an army.
Yeah. And just the vibe. And also what I really liked about the way that bands play is they would sort of, hey, this next song, it's about this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get the drumsticks out and everyone's like, fuck yeah. You know, with a DJ set, because it's continuous, and this is something I used to do on Warped Tour as well, I would get on the mic, would break it up a little bit. We had smaller crowds as well too, which that's what's really important is to get the engagement of smaller crowds. Don't just, you know, sit there with your head down looking at the decks. But man, there's a level of showmanship that's beyond the music where you got to learn that on the road.
Yeah.
What
bands are sick, man. Like bands, there's nothing like watching a good live band. Still, like the music hits different.
Oh man, a real kick drum?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's killer.
Yeah.
One of my best times or notable was getting on stage with 30 Seconds to Mars.
Bullshit.
Yeah. So I can't remember what year it was, but or what festival. It might have been Soundwave.
And how quickly till security? Like
No. This is completely intentional. So here's the thing. I really liked 30 Seconds to Mars. Yeah. So I would stalk them in like what their set list was going to be and what was going on. And I found out that for one of their songs, I cannot remember what it was, but they would bring members from the crowd up onto stage and not just one or two, like, you know, 10, 15. So I knew exactly at what moment they were going to ask for people to go on. So I told my mates, I was like, I know the song. I know after this song ends, they're going to ask people to come, like the first 15 people to jump the fence are going to come on stage. So they finished the song and I had my mates already, like, I had my foot in one of their hands and some my other mate had my hand, like his hand on my ass, ready to throw me over.
Yeah, yeah, launch you over.
And he starts, so it's Jared Leto too, which is man. Like, I mean, he's evolved greatly. And he goes, the first 10, and I was just like, go. And my mates just launched me and I landed right on this poor chick who was on the rail, just crunched her and then just like toppled over the edge. And I was just like, oh, I'm sorry. Security guard picks me up, pushes me along my way. I go up, go behind stage, pass his brother, who's the drummer, and then look to my right, and my best mate as well was up there. We both knew it was going to happen, but we weren't together at the time.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we just stayed up for that song, looking out to the crowd, you know, thousands and thousands of people out there, Jared Leto like 5 meters in front of me.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was fucking sick. Yeah, wow. But it was also, I felt so bad for that poor girl at the front. I was, you know, I'm a pretty big dude, especially I was a bit chubbier back then too. So just, but I just, it was so funny because he was like, yeah, three, like, you know, all right, the first 10, and I was already in the crowd. So yeah, it was great. Good times, man.
Well done. Well done.
All right, one more question because I have just another funny story.
Yeah.
What's the worst experience at a festival?
As a punter?
Yeah, yeah. Not playing, because we know you've had plenty of technical difficulties and things like that. And, you know, almost your first example was kind of bad in a way. But is there anything, it doesn't necessarily have to be you, that stands out. It doesn't have to be a festival, say, but any sort of show or any time you went out, something bad that happened.
No, I can't go to nightclubs without someone wanting to fight me. Just, I don't know why. So, but yeah, I think the worst time was I was watching Avicii play in Adelaide at Future Music. And I don't know, must have bumped someone. Okay, this is a thing in Australia. We talked about this off camera. You're just 1% away from a fight at an Australian EDM festival. I don't know why. And yeah, just this one guy just wanted to knock me out. I don't know why, but, and I had mates around me and they're all like, what is this guy's problem? I don't know. Must have bumped him, spilled his drink, something.
Yeah.
But I'm glued into the music. I don't care.
No.
Yeah. And that's probably the worst as a punter. The worst stories have always been when I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's more of a person, like that's your reputation. That's your job. Like that's, and that scars you.
One very quick funny story about after I've played a show, I played at Falls Music Festival and there's a VIP section. Now, for those that don't know much about Falls Music Festival, it's basically camping in the forest, right? And I was one of the more electronic of the people playing. So there's this VIP section after you get off the stage and that's sort of like a makeshift tent area, whatever. And they have long drops.
Long drops.
Toilet.
What is that?
You don't know what a long drop is?
No, educate me.
Anyone that wants to Google a long drop. Very medieval.
Doesn't sound good.
So instead of a portaloo.
Oh, just a pile.
It's a really deep hole in the grounds with a wooden platform with a hole.
Once you said medieval, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
And a trough of sawdust. And what you're meant to do is you sit on the hole, relieve yourself, and then shovel some sawdust.
On top.
Mmm.
luxurious festival experience.
Very VIP experience.
Yeah.
Green room. Now, I just finished my set. And I went for number one. And as I'm standing at the long drop, aiming carefully down the drop, I look in. So behind, okay, if you imagine what a toilet, you know where the toilet stalls are, and like a normal toilet, and there's the buttons.
Yep.
Imagine that's the trough of sawdust with your little shovel.
Mm.
Right? I look into said sawdust thing, and there is a giant turd. shimmering in the very low lights that we had in this makeshift stall.
Dude.
And I just, there's only like 10 people that have access to this backstage.
Yeah. Or one of you.
Or a Chief Street's done the old jump over the fence and got in. But I just laughed.
Oh, man.
What can you do? And I left it there. Soon as I walked out, I thought, oh, the next person that goes in there is going to think that was me.
Yeah, well, it's like when you go to the toilet and you go in, there's a little bit of urine on the bowl and you're like, well, that's not mine, but if I don't wipe that up, the chick who's out there is going to think I just pissed all over the bowl.
Well, whoever had a fun time in the...
Dude, that is gold. I always call it a long drop.
A long drop.
No, it's funny because as soon as you said medieval as well, I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Are you telling me they don't have a toilet there? That's crazy. Not and this, a VIP access?
Not this particular part.
The old long drop. Well, I went to a party for New Year's. We were in Europe and I thought it sounded glamorous. We all did. We all thought we're getting into a cracking night and then it turned into just a disaster. So we were in Budapest. And there was a New Year's Eve party at one of their public spas. And by the photos, it looked awesome. Just, you know, laser lights everywhere, DJs in spas. Spa baths. Now, look, tell me that now. It sounds like a fucking nightmare. But
sounds like a swamp of germs.
As a 19, 20-year-old, though, all I saw was like water and flashing lights in Europe. And I was
what's
like,
not to like?
Sounds great. Anyway. So we got there incredibly drunk and we go and we put our stuff in a locker.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize at the time that it was basically you had your spas over here and the lockers all surrounding it, but they looked identical. Each locker bay, you know, you're incredibly intoxicated. It was just like a duplication of the next one. And there was hundreds of lockers. And so anyway, we get in, we get changed. It's a nightmare from that point. You know how easy it is to lose people? Also, it was winter. It's December in Budapest. It's freezing cold. So unless you're in the water, as soon as you step out, ice.
Yep.
Like you can slip. There is the worst type of humans at that event that you could imagine. It was just like we had girls with us. And we just had to basically shield them
because
it was just, just disgusting. As you said, just germs everywhere, sawsome things. whatever you think I saw. Just, it was all happening. So we pretty much realized how terrible this was.
Yeah.
But we're also just getting blind drunk while we're at it because, like, why not? Yep. And anyway, it came time to leave and then it was a maze to find the locker. I could not figure it out because I would just walk in circles and they all look the same. Every time. I'm like, how the am I going to get home? Anyway, somehow we all made it back. I had my bag full of stuff. I even though I was conscious for some of that, I was not. So all I remember was going, rocking up, putting my stuff away, it being disgusting, and then somehow I made it out.
Well done. Yeah. I've had a night like that in Vegas where I remember leaving the event, but I do not remember how I got home.
Yeah, that was it for us. And, you know, we're doing like trains home and we're wet and cold. It was just like the worst. If you're going there,
don't go to creepy old spas.
Just don't. Go there in the daytime. Have a real spa experience, but do not go there to get drunk. Oh.
Well done. You survived. And here we are.
Scarred for life.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I like talking about these old stories because, you remind me of a bunch of more disgusting stories I can tell in the future.
Beautiful.
Yeah. We will share really good stories as well, like not disgusting ones, because tour life is amazing. But, do I have some stories.
Good. We can uncover them.
Unreal. Yeah, I'm liking the chit-chat format.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's just going to be so many of these that they're not all going to be polished, but today was a good one.
Especially when we move into the next room, which is very couch vibe.
Just teasing it again.
I have to. Make sure you tune in. I'm going to ask a favor this time of everybody that's listening and watching. If you have enjoyed this episode, or if you haven't, send it to someone you like or someone you don't. And that way, win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
I know, it's funny how people have to ask for that, but I genuinely think... If you have not subscribed, please do. And if you have not liked the video, also, if you have time, please do. All those little metrics for the algorithm really help.
And you're a legend if you made it this far too.
Just yeah, well done. All right, till next week.
Ciao.
Cheers.